Good evening. Welcome to the Thayer Township Board of Supervisors meeting, the public meeting for regarding the conditional use request number 2016-02, filed by the Vista Foundation for 1649 Melrose Drive, Hummelstown, PA. Is this you, Chuck?
It is.
I will turn it over to Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. This conditional use application is filed by the Vista Foundation as per a group home for persons with disabilities to operate under the Vista Adult Services Division. It's proposed at 1649 Melrose Drive in the Indian Run Development, which is located within the Village Residential Zoning District in which group homes for persons with disabilities are permitted as a conditional use. The foundation presently serves three male residents at this location, which the township treats as a single-family dwelling. The addition of the fourth resident is what triggers this conditional use hearing and the classification as a group home for persons with disabilities. By definitions in our ordinance, it's defined as a dwelling shared by four but not more than eight persons with disabilities, excluding resident staff. The zoning ordinance provides the criteria and required conditions for the establishment of the group home, which are as follows. The applicant is to provide a statement describing the character of the facility. You know, within the package that you received, in their narrative, the applicant notes that the disability of the anticipated residents, the development and mission of the foundation's adult service division, and the desire to offer a meaningful and relaxed setting that honors and respects individual differences while teaching independent living and social and job-related responsibilities, meeting that first criteria. They also must demonstrate that the program's policies and goals and means proposed to accomplish the goals. And again, in their narrative, they talk about the procedures and policies that they use that are consistent with state and county licensing for such uses, that their residential sites are subject to yearly licensing by the Bureau of Human Services licensing and annual and biannual licensing by the Office of Developmental Programs. They also describe that that they provide custom, comprehensive, and ongoing training to their staff serving the independent living residents within their service area. They need to show that that they have provided a description of the character of the residents in the proposed group home, noting in particular their ages, numbers, and any impairments which they may possess. If you've looked through the data, they've listed the initials of each resident, their ages, and their disabilities. All have some level of autism requiring 24-hour support. Each have jobs or are training to obtain jobs, and each have a hobby or other activity they enjoy to participate in. They need to provide a study documenting the need for such a facility in Derry Township. And they provided very detailed information of the need for this type of facility within Dauphin County and even more specifically in Derry Township. They provided local statistics showing that the number of adults with autism have been growing steadily within our county. Just by way of example, from 2005 to 2011, adults with autism in Pennsylvania rose from about 1,400 to about 6,000, which is a pretty good jump. Just within Dauphin County, from 2005 to 2011 in the same term, there was about 108% increase of adults with autism, totaling in 1,163. They also go on to say that part of the reason for this concentration of adults in Dauphin County and more specifically in Derry Township is the expertise in autism services provided by the Hershey Medical Center and by the Vista School itself. They infer that their adult services, including the group homes for persons with disabilities, which they have a few others in the township that are only that only see three students, and again, we treat those as single family dwellings, are presently and will continue to be used and needed by adults with autism. Our regulations go on to state specific standards. And in this case, the first standard is that any group home shall have 350 square feet of area per resident. Here, this home has about 1,400 square feet of, somewhere between 1,400 and 2,200 square feet of area, only needing 1,400 square feet. They need to show that the group home is conducted within a single family dwelling, and of course, this is a single family dwelling today. The home needs to operate with a common kitchen and dining facility and provide no cooking or dining facilities within the rooms. And again, the interior of the home is maintained as a single family dwelling with a common kitchen and dining facility. The applicant needs to show that the home is tied to public water and public sewer facilities. And again, on Melrose Avenue, that is the case. The applicant needs to show that there's not another group home within 2,000 feet of this proposed group home. So group homes for many, many years now have only been permitted by conditional use in the township. I could not locate another conditional use hearing for a group home. They were not aware of any other group home that operates within 2,000 feet. So we're comfortable that there's not another home operating within 2,000 feet. They need to demonstrate that there's adequate off-street parking facilities to meet the needs of the group home. The lot presently contains a two-car garage with what appears to be about enough space for three additional cars in the driveway. The residents of the home are non-drivers. The support staff will be a maximum of three employees at any one time, with some shift changes. So during the shift changes, there may be up to six vehicles at the property for a short term. I think I'd put that akin to almost the operation of any other home, whether they have guests or parties or whatnot. Finally, the group home use shall not be changed to serve a greater number of residents or residents with impairments which differ substantially from those which were described in the initial application. That has been listed as a condition on the suggested adoption papers. The board is able to require an outdoor fenced-in area, play area, either passive or active, if it's deemed necessary to protect the general welfare of the surrounding community. The Vista Foundation has indicated a willingness to provide that fence if necessary as part of this conditional use. The ordinance goes on to say that the grant of the conditional use can be revoked by the board if it's determined that the residents of the group home have endangered the general welfare of the surrounding community due to a breach of security or lack of adequate supervision. This is also included as a condition in the suggested motion. Derry Township Planning Commission did review this application on December 13th and recommended that the conditional use be approved, subject to conditions A, B, and C in the draft decision. I'm recommending that the conditional use be approved. The board has 45 days from the last hearing to actually render a decision on the conditional use. That would take you to March 10th, 2017. Although your nearest meeting to that is February 28th. However, in consideration of when this application came in, which was November 15th, and our string of holidays and special meetings, we've already obtained an extension of time from the Vista School. That's why this is listed for action during tonight's regular meeting. Mike Jarman, the Chief Strategic Officer and General Counsel for the Vista School, is here tonight to answer any of your questions.
Very good. Are there any questions or statements from the board members? Yes, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Josh. What type of notice was given to the neighbors tonight, Sarah?
So there's letters that go out to just adjacent properties is the way that the ordinance reads for a conditional use. And a posting in front of the property.
Has there been any response to those letters?
Well, we have some people here this evening, but I've gotten no calls in the office.
Did we discuss when we were talking about official map and things like that? I know we were talking about exploring ways to perhaps expand that a little bit to folks that might not be adjacent to properties, but affected properties, but houses in the area, especially the residential neighborhood.
So that would be a change in the zoning ordinance.
Right.
There's no change proposed between, you know, the old zoning ordinance and the new zoning ordinance. We're presently adhering to the requirements of the municipality's planning code.
Right. And of course, that issue wouldn't just be limited to this particular.
No, any condition.
Also, if there was some sort of conditional use needed for other.
That'd be township-wide.
Yeah. So.
Are there any other questions as it relates to Chuck's presentation? Because I'm going to ask the public to come forward. Very well. The microphone is open to the public. If you'd like to make a comment, please state your name and address and offer your comments.
Hi, I'm Tom Spratt. I live at 850 Indian Run Drive. I live across the street from the group home. About the two things Mr. Moyer mentioned about the contacting us, there's been very little. I didn't know about it until this afternoon when a neighbor who got the letter, she lives next door to the house, they got a letter and she called my wife and then my wife emailed me. So I think it would be better if there was more communication between the house and the entire surrounding area. That said, they have been a pretty good neighbor for what we expected. I mean, there's been a lot of traffic. They've been pretty good. I don't know if there is enough parking for an extra student. There's always at least three cars on the street. And the driveway a lot of times is empty, but sometimes it's full. But they've been pretty good neighbors. So I don't have really any complaints about it, except I think more communication between what's going to happen. I guess they're going to, one more student's going to be, is that what this is about? One more student's coming in there?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's something we didn't even know either. So this is like blindsiding us. Although they've been pretty good neighbors, so it's okay.
Thank you. Correct. Just so that everyone is aware, and I got this from Chuck earlier today, that the purpose of this meeting is because we are crossing the threshold from three residents that are occupying the home going to four, which requires the conditional use.
But my question was, if additional ones are requested, would they have to come back?
Yes. Anything above four. And there's square footage requirements, so there's other mechanisms to force their.
Right. I think this particular house will max out at four. But also in the conditions is that if any of the disabilities would greatly differ from what's proposed here tonight in this testimony and in this application, the Vista School would need to revisit the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you. Who's here for? Come back up if you like.
So in my opinion, I think four would be like the maximum that this house would ever be able to stand. Even four might be too much. It's just in my opinion.
Okay.
So if there is a fifth one, if I find out, we're going to have a lot of people here against it. So. And they've been good neighbors so far. So
they would need to revisit this entire process.
So this form would in fact reopen. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Please come up and grab the microphone. And
my name is Lisa Walk, and I live at 1636 McIntosh Way, which I am behind the group home. And my other neighbor, and we We are confused because as of this summer, we had a man, a woman, and daughter living behind us. I'm not even aware that there are three living there at this point till this evening. So we were never notified as of the three, let alone putting a fourth person there. So we're a little confused what's going on here.
The code requires that first, it's allowable for up to three. Should they exceed three, then...
Okay, I'm just confused on the whole situation here, this whole...
Someone from the Vista.
I mean, the Vista home.
Who's here from Vista? You, sir? Would you like to address us and tell us
sure.
what's...
I'll go back to my seat.
Thank you. Sure. So there, as Chuck said,
I'm going to ask you if you could give us your name. And
my name's Mike Jarman, J-A-R-M-A-N. I live at 775 Zurich Drive in Hummelstown, so in Derry Township. I am the founder of the Vista School. We started this project back in 1999, so we've been doing this for a while. This is part of our adult outreach program, which includes a job training facility over on right back behind the outlet mall there on 24 Northeast Drive, and then this group home activity. We now have four group homes serving seven adult individuals throughout Dauphin County, two of which are in Derry Township, and then there are two others that are outside of the township. This particular home has sufficient space, bed space for four individuals, and this would be the only facility that we're currently thinking about moving to potentially four beds. It's because essentially the case mix within the home and individuals are at a level where they could have another resident there and interact in a decent social setting with them. There are other homes that we have for individuals that are single individual homes just because of their behaviors and their inability to interact with roommates. So this particular facility was picked for the conditional use application, both because of its size and configuration and because of the case mix of the individuals that are in there. To the extent that the neighbors have seen female adults in the facility, they are not residents, they are part of our staff. There are the only residents there currently are three adult males with autism.
Can I ask
sure.
when they like this summer, it looked like a family living there, a husband, a wife, and a young girl. Now I know the house has been a lot of people moving in and out, so can I ask when they?
I think they're right. I don't, we've only been operating the homes, the four homes, since the earliest home was opened up back in February of 2016, so I think this facility started sometime in May of 2016.
This particular home behind?
Okay.
Yeah, I go to the beach a lot, so I don't know. Can I ask how old they are? Or?
Yeah, they're all young adults, so they're anywhere from age 18 to 23.
Okay, so they weren't the ones that I saw this.
Yeah, they have autism.
Autism? Is there a fence going to go at this point?
We have told the township that if they would like us to put a fence up, that we will put a fence up.
I probably shouldn't say this, but what's the purpose of the fence? I mean, is it
I'm not sure.
Safety and security for the guests? I shouldn't say guests, but the residents?
Well, I think the ordinance looks at it as a safety issue for the neighborhood.
You know, the ordinance says that the Board of Supervisors may require a fence if deemed necessary. There's all kinds of disabilities that could be served by this type of home.
Sure.
So I guess it's a discretionary call on the board's side.
None of us are obviously experts in the broad spectrum of autism, but maybe you could explain, like, in your other home in Derry Township, you know, is that similar residents who are there? I mean, do you have a fence there, or?
Yeah, right now we do not have a fence on any of the four properties. It does not, you know, there's constant supervision of the individuals while they're in the home. Now, that does not mean that there are not incidents of what we call elopement in the business, which is individuals who, because of behavioral issues, try to evade or escape supervision. And there has been an incident of elopement at this facility. We have instituted different procedures because of that to lock down the supervision of the supervisors, essentially. We now require people to card into just about every room in the house and make sure that they're continuously carding in so that there's no distraction while they're supervising the individuals. So, you know, we could envision the reason we told Chuck that we were satisfied to have a fence if the supervisors deemed it necessary is we could envision the supervisors saying, hey, that's another impediment to elopement, and that would be a reasonable position. But we haven't found, we've had one incident of elopement since we started operating these four homes in the last year and a half. Almost a year and a half.
And you're not going to encase the entire, you're going to fence the whole house?
No.
You would fence the backyard?
No. It would be an area suitable for recreation, essentially.
Yeah, I know of two incidences. I guess when a boy got out,
when they get out, I mean, is it just a lost individual who may not be supervised? Is there what potential risks are there, both to the resident and then the neighbors?
The risk to the resident is that they wander around town and, you know, aren't unsupervised and therefore are in danger of, you know, being preyed upon by unscrupulous folks, or just in danger of being lost for a period of time without supervision. These are not individuals that should be unsupervised. In terms of the behaviors, when individuals of this level of disability become agitated, concern, they can become self-injurious. So that's also of concern.
Mr. Tron, elopement also brings risk of the residents experiencing exposure. For example, if they get out in cold weather and things like that, they can be self-injurious in that regard and become disoriented as well. But what sort of notification requirements do you have in terms of if there's a change in the resident population, in terms of the individuals who are currently residing there, and the condition of the individuals that reside there? For example, in the event that these individuals perhaps are on the low order of the autism spectrum, over time, new residents, different residents with a much higher on the spectrum of autism are moved in and reside here as well. Is the township apprised of any of that?
As far as I know, there's no requirement to describe our case mix to the township. We do have a requirement. An individual was in or out to notify the township that a different individual was there and give the township the basics of who that individual is. But the purpose of the residential setting like this is to maintain stability for these individuals. And you know, the intention from a clinical perspective is to keep particularly this group of three young men who seem to get along well together, to keep them together as long as you know their families remain in the area and their health is good and things don't change. There's no intention of moving forward other than to add another individual to the home. There's no intention of changing the case mix in this facility.
And what sort of confidentiality restrictions are you under in terms of?
I'm under every confidentiality restriction. We are the most heavily regulated. You know, Three Mile Island has nothing on us. We are the most heavily regulated institution on the face of the God's green earth. So we can't talk about who these people are. We can't talk about. You know, we can give broad descriptions of what their condition is, but we can't identify that condition with the individual because of HIPAA. There's numerous restrictions on what we can and can't say, but obviously you know, a governmental body such as this body has the right to know certain things, and therefore you know there are waivers available under both state and federal law for confidentiality for purposes of doing the business.
And that's what I was actually getting at.
That we're doing it.
For the purposes of keeping the Board of Supervisors apprised of the case mix that might be present.
Any other questions?
Are you going to have any more staff for the extra students?
Yes.
Yeah. So how many staff?
So there will usually be three staff.
So how many there right now?
There's normally two.
There's normally two.
There's two.
Yes.
I'm just kind of expanding on your supervisory.
Could you state your name?
My name is Bob Krubitzer. I live also on McIntosh Way, the rear of my property. What's the rear of the property in question? I'm just wondering if this particular home is a single family home, and I'm assuming if you're bringing a fourth person in, it's a four bedroom facility?
That's correct.
And when you say that these young men are under supervision, is it 24 hour supervision?
Yes.
So the supervisors stay where?
They stay in.
Like in a basement or a rec room or?
No, well, during the evening hours when the young men are supposedly sleeping.
Yes.
And as all young men have different.
So they were not.
You know, 22-year-old guy, I live with two 22-year-old guys. They kind of come in and out, so they're not always sleeping. But when they are sleeping, the staff is in either a home office area or in a kitchen or in a living room, but then they have constant duties with respect to supervising to make sure that the individuals are in their bed and that they're sleeping. When they're awake during normal activity hours in the house, say in the evening, the staff is helping them with food preparation, with setting the table, with having dinner. These are individuals that need assistance with recreational activities, so oftentimes the staff will provide the individuals or make some suggestions about what they do in the evenings for recreation and give them options like you know art or video games or computer time or what have you. So they're usually actively engaged in the living space during awake hours, and then during sleep hours they have stations that they have to go to, as I was explaining to Mr. Morgan. They have card swipes that they have to do in the bedrooms to do bedroom checks every hour on the hour, or every, you know, depending on which individual it might be on the half hour, the quarter hour, but the,
understood.
That's how they operate.
And one last additional thing is, when you put forth the option of putting up a fence, and you described it as safety and security were your top talking both about the residents and?
My understanding of the ordinance is that it's silent, and I assume that it covers both the residents and the neighborhood. So.
Okay, and one last thing for you are the superintendent of the school, let's say.
Yep.
Are you satisfied with the idea that these young men can operate in a residential setting where there are, you know, numerous people that they would interact with without worrying too much about that idea?
Well, I guess I'd ask specifically what that's kind
I'm
of.
I'm not asking you about their condition. I understand HIPAA laws.
That's a generic question. So, what about their interaction? Are you asking me?
I'm asking you if you, knowing these individuals, are comfortable with the possibility that they may interact with the rest of the neighborhood, whether it be adults or children. Okay, are you confident that there would be no problem with this interaction between the residents and the community?
I'm confident that the people who supervise them have the ability to manage those interactions.
Okay.
But I understand autism is a condition which has, you know, behavioral implications, and these individuals are not always at all times in every way in control of their behaviors, which is why they need to be supervised.
I'm perfectly understood, and I want you to understand that the community is not trying to inhibit or prohibit the advancement of these individuals. However, we still have to look out for our community as well.
Sure. And as I said, I'm confident in the ability of the people to supervise these individuals, to supervise them in a way that keeps both them and the people they interact with safe. Understanding that, however, yet again, just for the record, that we are dealing with individuals who have behavior control problems, and even the highest standard of care does not always, in every circumstance, assure that their behaviors will be in control at all times. And that's, you know, that's the nature of the condition. What Pennsylvania has said over the years and continues to say as a commonwealth is that, you know, individuals with impaired behavior can and should be integrated into a community setting. And we're trying to do that in with the highest degree of capability, and we do think that we're as good as it is. However, you know, we do not guarantee or warrant the behaviors of any of these individuals.
I understand.
It's the nature of the condition.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sir, how many, staffing-wise, how many shifts per day do you work?
Three shifts.
And are they the standard shifts?
Yeah, I mean, and standard is,
7-11?
Yeah, it's more like there's a shift change, more like at 9 than at 7, just because the individuals kind of do their morning routine during the endpoint of the last shift. But it, you know, if you divide up the day into 8 and you start at 9, so it's kind of 9 to 5.
And is that weekdays and weekends?
That's weekdays and weekends, yes. There's always staff.
And how many staff members per shift?
Currently there's 2. We would add a staff member when we add the 4th person.
So there'd be 3 members of the staff per shift? And what are their professional credentials in terms of, are they social workers, CRNPs, RNs, social workers?
No, I mean, they meet the criteria for staffing in a group home. So they are, you know, they are, the way that the regulations work is that they need to have a certain level of training in the condition that they're dealing with.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm not as familiar with this particular facility as other types of healthcare.
Yeah,
facilities.
It's not like you're kind of talking about more of, and there is a medical home type of arrangement where you have to have people with with professional credentials. That's not what this is.
And it doesn't apply in this case?
It doesn't apply in this case.
Again, we're not talking about a new home. You've been in place there since May.
Yes.
And you're still looking to add one individual. You're going to add one additional staff member, and that's the only change that we're talking about.
That's correct. Right.
Okay. And so far, things have been going okay for you? And
I'm not going to gild the lily here. This is a new activity. There are, to our knowledge, no specially autism group homes in central Pennsylvania. We are taking care of the most difficult folks, people who are the most impaired. Autism is an impairment of four particular domains. So there's intellectual impairment, there's speech and language impairment, there's behavior control impairment, and there's socialization impairment. The individuals that we care for now in these four group homes have all four of those. Many of the individuals that you will meet in a day-to-day interaction in there, these days with one in 68 in life first being autistic, you will interact with folks on the spectrum, but numerous of them have only two of those domains impaired, or one of those domains impaired. We are dealing with a very difficult group of people, so we're not going to gild the lily. We're learning about how to handle a 24-hour care for these individuals when we have never done 24-hour care of these individuals before. These are individuals that our organization generally knows very well because they're our graduated students by and large. We've worked with them in an institutional setting, in a classroom, which has a very different mix of activities and a very different large numbers of professionals coming in and out, lots of eyes on the individuals. It's a very different activity. I will not stand here and tell you that we have this all down yet, because we do not. But I will tell you that nobody does. And I will tell you that nobody's trying right now, other than us.
So, excuse me, you said that you don't have it down yet, but it's been 6 months and now you're going from 3 to 4. Would it be better to wait before you go to 4?
Well, the better to wait question, I guess, depends upon your perspective. If you're a parent and you are...
But I thought an individual passed away in the house, too, so
yes,
I thought that was
what
happened because of the staff.
It was not because of the staff. We have actually, I've been with this organization since before it started in 99, and we have lost three individuals during that time period. Two of them in their parents' house under the parents' supervision, and one in this group home. In all three cases, the deaths were essentially unrelated to care, and now there was one kid who eloped and got hit by a car, but she eloped from her mother when her mother was actually turned and looking at one of her children and was attending to another one of her children. She looked away for a moment and the little girl was gone. The other two individuals, the one at the group home and the one who died at his parents' house, both died in their sleep in both cases of suffocation. The autonomous nervous system of an individual with autism is different than an autonomous nervous system for people without autism. But in both cases, it was the cause of death was indeterminate. So, what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance the needs of the community against our level of skill. We do feel that we have the skill to handle another person in this home, again, mostly because of the case mix of the individuals. These are some of our higher functioning individuals who are more social and easier to get along with and live together. We would put a higher functioning individual in that fourth slot. But, you know, we're not going to, we've made a decision that we're not going to tell people who are in extremis. And usually, we've only taken families who are in extremis, families whose only other alternative is institutionalization of the individuals. And we set a very high bar for who comes into these things, because for the very reason that you state, which is we want to have this down really, really well before we go into any kind of large scale. But right now, there's nobody helping these people. And when a family doesn't have any other options, it becomes, for the county, it becomes an almost unbearable situation, because they either institutionalize somebody who doesn't have to be institutionalized, or they move them out of state.
Mike, can I ask one more question? You had mentioned that there's oftentimes cars on the road. Is it an option for cars to park in the driveway?
Yeah.
I think they could do a better job of parking the driveway.
Because it neighborhood, yeah. It feels more like a neighborhood if they're in the driveway right. Rather than the street.
And, yeah. And yeah. That's the first I've heard of it. You can be sure that there'll be a directive tomorrow morning saying park in the driveway.
Also, have the bus driver not honk when we
I can't do anything about it. I don't have any control over the bus drivers, unfortunately.
But to that point, the residents had any concerns, you know, either with or without this conditional use, they're certainly free to contact you or anybody on staff.
Sure, the only reason we didn't contact the neighbors about this particular issue is because we wanted to go through Deering Township and abide by the order. There's kind of a strict set of rules involved in how communications go here, so we were trying to stick with the strict rules. But informally, you know, anybody in this room is welcome to call me at any time about any issues surrounding them.
And I'm sure we
I appreciate the statement about being a good neighbor, and we really want to be, because we successful at it for these individuals, and we want their community to like having them there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the ultimate goal here is for folks in the community to be happy that these men are their neighbors.
I just had a quick question. I'm Tiffany Pappas. I live next door at 1657 Melrose Drive. How do we get, or if we do have an issue, which we haven't so far, other than isn't it when the one resident passed away. I know my daughter was very freaked out by all the commotion and CSI vehicles and everything out front, and the cars increase in traffic and everything. But if we do have issues, do we contact you?
Yes.
Should we contact the township? And how do we get a hold of you?
mjarman@thevistaschool.org.
Okay, so we can just look you up on the website.
You can look me up on the website, okay. But it's my name's spelled JARMAN, first initial M for Mike, mjarman@thevistaschool.org.
Okay, because we didn't have any contact to, if there were issues, we didn't actually know. Like that day, I called the police department to find out what was going on.
Well, and obviously, if you had called me and asked me what was going on, I couldn't.
Well, I didn't know that they were calling the business school, but I didn't even know who to ask for anything. So,
Well, we certainly appreciate all that you're doing for individuals with autism in our community. And if anybody here knows anyone who has an adult child with autism, it can be a real burden on a family. So. What you're doing is a good thing. We appreciate you coming to talk with all of us and certainly talking with the neighbors to make sure they understand what's going on.
Thank you. Ma'am in the back.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Karen. My son lives at Melrose House. He calls it Melrose House. He was one of the first residents. He moved in March. 2016. He is doing an amazing job. He has transitioned to adulthood really well. The Vista School and Mr. Jarman helped my family at a really difficult time. My husband passed away very suddenly, and I was left to raise my 20-year-old son by myself. And because he was going to the Vista School, they made a way for him they helped me because I was not able to work and take care of him and everything else. And I'm 20 minutes away, which is beautiful. I see him twice a week. We go to dinner. He comes home and he always wants to go back to Melrose House. He never wants to stay. So I'm just here to tell the community that we are grateful to everybody in the development, and we're very grateful to Vista. And the young men love where they live, and they are learning and thriving and growing into productive members of society. They have jobs, they work. My son gets to graduate at 21, and he works, and he's in paid employment, and I never thought that was gonna be possible. So from a parent, the Vista Adult Services have provided an avenue that our children can be productive. And like all other children, leave home, because that's what all children want to do, most of them. Some of them come back, but most children want to leave home, and our children get to do that. So I just want to say thank you to Mr. Drummond, and if there are any issues, please be patient with us. We want to get it right, and as parents, we're very invested in our boys. I'm there twice a week, and I'm the only local parent. The other two parents live a little ways away, so I'm the voice of Melrose House tonight to say we're happy, we love it, and please be patient if there's anything we can do different.
Thank you very much. Great hearing the success stories. With that, are there any other public comments? Any other board comments? With that, we can adjourn. Thank you.